This is Thrace Relations, a podcast about Spartacus, the television series on Starz Channel. Hello, I'm Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
Welcome back to Thrace Relations. This episode is Wrath of the Gods, episode 10 from Vengeance. Any thoughts on this episode?
A lot of different types of kills in this one. A lot of people got killed in different ways, and they were awesome. This might be my favorite episode ever.
It's in the top three, because the three ending episodes of the three main seasons are my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So this ranks right up there with Kill 'Em All
and
the last episode of the next season. It probably is better than Kill 'Em All, because you really, really want to see what happens at the end of this episode more than you want to see what happened to Body Otis, at least for me.
Yeah.
Because he just had it coming for
this whole time.
Yeah.
And this one I had no idea what to expect, and there was a lot of fucking cookies in it for me. It was awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't wait to have you watch it. Okay.
They've got a tall order to fill after this season for me.
It's definitely a crowd pleaser, this episode. It gives you everything you want. It gives you closure for all the storylines in the season, and it gives you the kills that you want to see.
Yeah. I think they're excellent at doing season finales. They're very skilled at doing it.
And it's not just the kills you want to see, because I wanted to see them, but at the same time, I didn't expect them, because people have survived, and you don't know what's happening.
Like, yeah, I mean, Asher survived longer than you expected,
Asher,
right?
Asher, Lucretia.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't expect any of it. So the twists, the Shamalama Ding Dong twists were awesome.
The show does keep you, you know, off balance a little bit with that, because people who you think would, already be dead at this point are still alive and kicking, so you just don't know. I mean, they could be there the next season, because it's for the first time when you watch it, especially if you're not, you know, well-versed in the history of it, you don't know who's supposed to survive this and who's not, you know, and how much artistic license they're going to take from that point on. So,
and you don't know who's going to deliver either.
Yeah, definitely.
Because multiple people could really want Asher dead, right, and want to take that, right? And I've noticed that they're very good about, like, kind of teasing you, thinking it's going to go this way, and then they give it to you differently.
Although he could have survived that fight if he really applied himself a little bit. He had a couple openings. He let her live.
We'll talk about that when we get to it. I have some specific thoughts on that.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into recap, because this sounds exciting. So, okay, starts out with Spartacus looking over the summit of Vesuvius, which overlooks Labrys' camp. So next, Mira and Spartacus march through their camp, and Mira talks of their lack of food. They also talk, and it's pretty clear that they're done, their relationship. And it seems somewhat congenial.
Yeah, they both seem pretty at peace with it. You know, they're friends.
I think she's at peace, but, you know, it's bitter.
Oh, it hurts,
the same time.
For sure.
Yeah.
He almost looked like he was going to say something else. Because, you know, he looked down, and he had that look on his face that, like, I get, you know, like he's about to say something.
Yeah.
And then that's when Crixus comes up.
And tattles.
Tattletales. Yeah. He's like, Dad, did you see what he did?
Stupid Germans.
Yeah.
Ganicus is tattling with him, though.
Yeah.
But Nemetes and others have taken a leave of camp, and they're, turns out, trying to infiltrate the Roman camp.
Were they trying to infiltrate or just dip?
They attacked.
They were attacking. I think they were probably going to try and it looked like it could have been like a provision raid or something.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
You know, they were just tired of being cold and hungry, maybe get some cloaks and some food.
Yeah.
But I don't think they were trying to abandon.
I'm surprised Spartacus then didn't like put provisions up there if that was kind of like their idea of escape, or, you know, like whenever they had the scouts up there, you think they would have just been like, but that doesn't matter on anything.
You mean Glaber?
No, Spartacus and them, whenever, because they always talked about having the scouts up there, you think that they would have had a little more provisions up there if they thought that possibly they would have to go up there.
Oh, I see, if they had it up there ahead of time.
But, I mean, that's here and there anyway. It doesn't matter. More to talk about.
But before you see Nemetes attack, Asher summons Glaber, second in command. And it's clear that there is some issue regarding Asher's new standing, at least with this particular soldier. That's when they're attacked by Nemetes and others. Saxa is also a part of it, and I think Lugo. And they're about to Eventually, it becomes clear that they're losing this fight, and that's when Spartacus and company come to save the day. Mira has mastered her weapon, and she's looking hotter than ever, I might point out, of course, because they're about to kill her.
Yeah.
And that's not long after that, she takes an axe to the chest.
Who threw it? Was it Asher?
The second in command.
Ah.
He threw it, and somebody yelled Spartacus, and Spartacus ducked, and she was standing behind him.
It's a callback to the old somebody's throwing a weapon and somebody else ducks.
And it's not Spartacus throwing the weapon.
You can't kill
Spartacus
that way. He invented that shit.
He knows his way around a thrown weapon.
He's got now, spidey sense.
If he
weapons.
Had known she was behind him, do you think he would have taken it?
Mm. Might have taken her down with him. He might have like done some kind of other move.
Like caught it. He should have caught it, fucking pussy.
Between his teeth.
Caught it and thrown it back like Jack Burton would have.
Well, it sucks because nobody got to say goodbye because he picks her up
awful,
and carries
man.
Her up there and she's dead already.
Yeah, he's
I hated it.
He's got a really shite track record with women at this point.
Yeah.
Not in a funny way. I mean, seriously, it's like each one of them gets picked off in just the most gruesome, bloodiest way.
Well, it's a half and half thing. That's half the reason why he keeps them at arm's length.
You know,
the other half being is that he still pines for his deceased wife. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he's just like he doesn't want anybody else to befall that fate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that way they can't use him against them.
Yeah, yeah.
So when it's clear that Mira's dead, Spartacus attacks Nemetes, blaming him for Mira's death. And this is when Nemetes kind of fights back and says, well, at least she died as a warrior and not from starvation, as the rest of us will. And Spartacus sees the truth in this.
Yeah, it's a good point.
And so he makes a speech attempting to rouse the rebels, and a one-eyed Animaeus has his back. And the Romans, apparently the Romans have captured a rebel. He apparently only speaks German. And Glauber attempts questioning, and he knifes him instead in the throat.
He does get some good jabs in. It's too bad Glauber didn't speak German.
Yeah, he did say some good stuff.
It's in their skulls.
Yeah, call them a cunt.
It's too bad you don't speak Covitos, Dr. Jones.
Asher is present also for this, and he reports that the attack was not commanded by Spartacus. Glauber asks how Spartacus appeared, and, Asher describes him looking like a...
He calls him deadly.
Yeah, cornered dog, cornered animal.
You can see the look on Glauber's face. He's not too happy about that.
He looked real hot.
Because he was...
He looked quite fit.
He's got a good 5 o'clock shadow going on. You know? If I wasn't with the Greasy right now, boy. Yeah, but, you can see the look on Glauber's face. He doesn't want to hear that because he wants to think that his plan of wearing them down and grinding them down is
just
going
to
work
hear, like,
in a week.
Gaunt and
he wanted
starved
to hear listless.
And...
Yeah, listless. Mm-hmm. He was asleep. He was in the corner asleep. They were carrying him down.
So Glauber, at this point, still plans to starve the rebels out. So now we have a scene with a very pregnant Alethea and Lucretia traveling the road in a cart. And Alethea desires to be near her husband, ultimately. And Lucretia reveals that she has been promised to Asher by Glauber.
She just can't stay home. Even in the first episode, she like all the whole thing, she was on a creeping
around. A huge callback
around.
To the first episode, actually.
Except she's not showing up in that woolly cloak.
No, naked underneath. So Lucretia tells how she plans to murder Asher. Alethea wants to help. So, okay. The rebels tend to weeds, according to Nemetes, while Spartacus sits with Mira. Gannicus defends Spartacus's grief for Mira. Nemetes continues to be insensitive.
Yeah, what a dick.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, what a dick.
See the big doe eyes that Saxo was giving
Yes.
Giving Gannicus?
Mm-hmm.
She was all like, oh, that's so sweet. We're going to do it.
I heard your cock rage is on.
We can't do girl voices, man.
No.
It sounds too much like the medic.
I know. It does.
So Gannicus tells Spartacus of Nemetes' restlessness. Spartacus has risen in Gannicus' estimation, apparently, as a bold strategist. And Spartacus talks of the reality of open battle. Gannicus is prepared for death and comforted by the idea of dying among brothers. And I have something to say about that at the end, too. Because I think Canicus changes his mind again at the end. Like, I think he actually thinks they were going to die, and he was okay with it. Then after Glaber's killed, and he sees all the rebels, like, chanting Spartacus's name, he has a look of, like, seriousness on his face, like, shit.
What did I get myself into?
Canicus is like Fonzie, though. You know, he's, like, the coolest kid in town. He does whatever he wants. He's never fully drinking the fucking Kool-Aid. He's not all fucking crazy for fucking Spartacus like everybody else. No, he was already fucking free.
Yeah.
That's the problem. He really is a free man.
Asher is attempting bonding with his goons. He talks of his Ludus and how they will be his first recruits. You know, I got a question here. Do you think if he hadn't had this conversation, if they would have supported him later? Because I think they were just like all, like.
Well, yeah, because he's in the middle of saying, all you need to do is give me your oath or your pledge. And then he gets interrupted.
And he says, too, that you'll be my slaves.
Basically.
Yeah.
If he had been like, we'll run it together.
Yeah.
And I'll give you all your freedom and everything. I think it would have been a little bit of a different, but 1,000 denarii apiece.
And land.
Yeah, that's too.
It's hard to.
Yeah. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. What happens is he gets interrupted by
the arrival of Lithia and Lucretia.
These bitches always disrupting shit. But so he doesn't get to finish out what he's saying. So I think you're right. When we get to that scene, we'll discuss probably what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Or what I think they're thinking. Add in.
So Astro looks happy to see Lucretia, and Glaber welcomes Lithia. And you know, we already said it's a callback, but I just wanted to point out, remember the first time we met Alithia when she snuck into camp and she also convinced him to do a battle strategy.
Which started
then,
the whole thing.
Which she does again.
Yeah.
It's true. So,
she is a horrible strategist.
Well, she tries to start it again, but he kind of doesn't do it because she wants him to go.
He decides to attack Vesuvius.
Yeah, but he doesn't. Spartacus goes first.
He was
going
to go the next morning.
The next morning. Remember, he goes at first light. We go to attack him. So she actually convinced him to do that.
Now, if you think about it, he had the numbers, right?
Yeah.
They probably would have overrun him eventually.
Well, what he was saying is
he might have saved their lives.
He was saying, like, Spartacus has the upper ground or the higher ground. I can't overrun his position without taking grievous losses.
Yeah.
And she says, but you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So she's pushing him once again to make the idiot decision.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
She's like a 5-year-old playing chess. You know what I mean? All she sees is the king at the other end of the board, and she's got like a pawn, and she's like, just keep pushing. You know?
And what about him? I mean, for the fact that he gives in to her. Because most of the time, he's pretty smart about stuff. I mean, even when Alithia hands him that bracelet, he's like, this doesn't make any sense. You know, he's tethered to me. So he's good at questioning things most of the time.
Glaber's no fool. But
yeah, he gets googly eyed over Alithia.
Alithia is his Achilles high heel.
Him.
So, you know, it's like, it's.
I don't blame him. I'd get googly eyed too if she was all over me.
He's back on the Alithia train.
She just.
It's her. It's when she's happy. It's she's nice. You know, it's when she's all being evil and stuff. It's terrible. But this episode, I was even thinking like, oh, she's being nice and flirty and a little giggly again. I can deal with it. See, I'd be in the same boat as Glaber. I'd be like, oh, okay, let's go ahead and do that.
She melts away all his resolve to make good decisions.
Yeah.
Left on his own, he probably still wouldn't have overcame Spartacus.
But doesn't that
rebels.
Happen a lot in a lot of marriages, though? Eventually, if you're, you know, you get a little. Sometimes love just makes you googly eyed and make decisions you shouldn't. Not that it's her, it's just love make you stupid sometimes.
But there's also an element of wanting to get back to Rome real quick.
Oh, yeah, he's sick of being on the road and dealing with all this shit.
So I think he probably latches on to her stupid fucking idea because he thinks, well, there is an element of expediency to it at the very least, so I can capitalize off of that.
And he's ready to rise above all others anyway.
Yeah.
To start getting that going.
A little bit like Bodyatus, maybe?
Yeah.
Never on where he's at.
Nope. What he's doing.
I got Yoda on my Band-Aid here.
Nice.
Okay. So we already mentioned the bracelet. So she, you know, talks to him of Asher and his treachery. And then he says, well, we also have somebody else that we need to.
And see, this is, I've been talking this whole season, or at least the last half of this season, about how Lucretia is the master manipulator.
Mm-hmm.
She manipulated the whole situation. She manipulated Sepia with that bracelet to do what she did. Mm-hmm. Then she manipulated Alethea because she knew Alethea was going to go to Glaber with that bracelet. Mm-hmm. He was going to figure out that it was Asher, and there was going to be this whole domino chain of events. That's why when they were in the cart, or whatever you call it, riding towards Vesuvius, she was like, yeah, I kind of have plans in motion to take care of Asher. And that's exactly what it was. You know, and she's just pulling everybody's fucking puppet strings this whole time.
Plus, she's,
kudos to her.
She's batshit crazy, too.
Yeah, she is. That helps. That helps. She's like the Joker, you know?
Yeah.
She's crazy, but super smart at the same time.
And she was also confident that she was successful. Mm-hmm. And that's why she kissed Asher the way she did when she left. And it almost seems like that's the downfall. As soon as you think you're on top of your game, that's when you're not.
Oh, yeah. Especially with her around.
Or just anybody in the show. It's like, as soon as you think you're like Asher probably thought he was on top of his game. He's about his ludus. 20 minutes later, he's up on Vesuvius.
Well,
you know what I mean?
A wise man once said, every time you think you know just what you're doing, that's when your troubles exceed. That's Axl Rose, by the way. In the song "Out to Get Me," but it's true. It's the truth.
Smoking rock in a fucking motel somewhere.
Okay. Well, he knew what he was doing then because he was making himself a millionaire.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. But what I'm getting at is it's
silly. A good point.
It's silly, but it's true. It's the pride before the fall.
Yeah.
You know, look at exactly. Bodiatis
pretty much everybody.
Yeah. Everybody, and it really applies to real life. Think about every time you're just. You know, every time you think to yourself, man, I've got my shit wired tight,
right,
I know what
nuts.
The fuck I'm doing, blah, 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 you turn around and you just walk into a wall, sometimes metaphorically, sometimes literally.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
It's almost like chalk it up to God or religion or just some sort of force, you know, pushback force for karma. It's like, no matter how successful you are, the universe demands a little bit of humility out of you. And if it doesn't get it, you pay. Mm-hmm. You pay in one way or another. So you either pay up front with your humility about the situation and just be like, hey, I'm just having a good string of luck. Let's hope it keeps going. And you try to do your best and keep going forward, or else something gets extracted out of you. That's just the way of the world, or at least that's how I see it.
No, absolutely.
Your past comes to confront you.
Oh, let's just keep that in the past.
So Glaber confronts Asher. And it turns out Asher's men are loyal to him. Wait, nope.
Yeah,
sorry.
Oh, damn.
Kind of dumb, Asher.
Glaber's a little bit too smart for that, which I thought Asher was a little bit too smart to do that.
Yeah.
He had the right idea with trying to walk away, but then whenever Glaber said, no, that's not going to happen.
A thousand denarii
like,
apiece.
Yeah, they put their swords away with a quickness.
And then he actually tries to attack the Egyptian.
The Egyptian first,
oh,
too.
Oh, my
he was
God.
Like...
yeah. That was like the shortest fight in Spartacus history.
You should have just like patted him on the shoulder. Sorry, man, you're fucked.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Okay. You should have known better than to try that. Mm-hmm. I lived in a pit for months.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Yet Glaber has a loyalty test for Asher.
Oh.
So Spartacus is continuing his vigil on top of Vesuvius when it is announced that there are others on the pass.
And it would have been cool if they put it on like the web or something with him marching up that path like, oh. Fucked, you know, I'm fucked down there. I'm fucked, you know, just him like kicking rocks up the mountain, like fucking bullshit. It's fucking a long path
traitor.
Of Asher, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm fucking prayer. I gotta go stupid Spartacus and fucking Crixus and fuck.
He's all like pulling on branches as he's walking up.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you know what they could have him do too, is
throwing
just like
a stick back and forth.
he has his head down and it's like dun, 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 the Charlie Brown
dun,
music.
Some fucking bullshit.
Then when they get up there, Spartacus just pulls the football away from him.
Because he does, when he first walks up, he just looks like, this is fucking bullshit.
This is the crowning scene of this episode and maybe this season.
There's so much to say about this.
Yeah.
Now,
you're waiting for some sort of reckoning.
Because everybody that wants to kill him, I think, says his name.
Yeah,
and
there's like five or
they're all
six
like, Asher,
like,
Asher, Asher, Boba Fett.
Where?
They all gave it to him.
But Navia didn't, I don't think. Did
no,
she
was.
She just gave him that death look.
She
like,
just froze and was staring. Yeah, yeah.
Oof.
So, yeah, he comes bearing a message, and... unlike Asher, Spartacus' men are loyal. For a second, he thinks they're not loyal when Nemetes says, I don't want to die today or whatever. And you see Asher smile.
He was taking some pleasure because it also gave him a glimmer of hope that he might survive.
Yeah.
You know, because if he could get everybody to go along with the deal, air quotes, then, he could probably walk down Vesuvius and go back to the camp and prove his loyalty and his worth once again. But 'twas not to be.
You got
to
give him a little credit. He is kind of brave for just going up there knowing he was fucked. I mean, he could have stayed at the edge of the path and hid behind a rock.
And he didn't kowtow. He didn't try. He, you know.
Beg.
He died with villain dignity.
Yeah.
You know? That's a good way to put it. Villain dignity.
Not that he has any, but I agree.
The shit talking. Well, look at it from his point of view. He can either stay down there with these guys who just turned on him. Calaver can say, kill him.
Well, they're going to kill him.
They're going to kill him. And the Egyptian will snap his neck in a heartbeat. Or he can walk up the hill and still be killed. But he can get some jabs in. He can look at all these other people who fucked with him and spit on him and said that he wasn't shit and just, you know, rub some crap in their faces before he leaves into the afterlife.
And we've seen the Romans kill people slowly and painfully. So at least if you go up the mountain, you're definitely going to get a quick death, hopefully.
You're not getting crucified. They're not going to torture him. They're gonna hurt him, but then they're going to put him out of his misery.
Mm-hmm. That's what all the jabs at the end, I think, were for, just to make sure they did the job clean instead of bit by bit. With a spoon.
Yeah, so at first you think it's going to be Crixus.
Oh, yeah, that's the obvious one.
I like how he was like, because we're glazing over something when they're like, oh, we're going to kill you. And he's like, well, Spartacus. And Spartacus is like, oh, that's a great fucking idea.
Yeah. He goes, I see no flaw in that reasoning. No,
you're dead.
It's like, oh, crap. If Spartacus is on board with this, he's usually the voice of reason. I'm fucked.
Yep. So Navia wants to face him because Asher's like, I'm wounded. What kind of honor are you going to get fighting a wounded man? And to Crixus, and Crixus is still willing to do it.
Oh, yeah.
But Navia decides to take it. So it's pretty awesome. I like how they make it seem like she's going to lose.
She was the only other person who could have done it because I guarantee you Crixus didn't care about the honor of killing him because he never saw him as a brother anyway.
Well, he stabbed a pregnant woman too, so he has no problem killing a dude with a boo-boo on his arm.
This wouldn't have been like, it's kind of like the Dalek said to the what are those guys called? I always forget.
Cyberman.
He goes, this isn't war. This is pest control. You know, because he was like, you know, that's how he looks at it. He's just killing a rat. He's like, there's nothing, you know, that has to do with honor about this fight. I'm just going to kill you.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think Asher really did have a few openings. He did. I think he held back to an extent. I'm not saying that she couldn't have killed him, but there were a few like when. And it could just be him wanting to goad, you know, and just getting some shots in because when he threw her on the ground and she's crawling around, he could have just walked up and stabbed her in the back. But I think it was
agonizing
for Crixus to watch it.
He was enjoying that exactly.
Some of it's done for the, you know, cinematic effect for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but at the same time, I think Asher is just, he's trying to twist the knife Crixus because he knows he can't kill Crixus on one-on-one combat.
He knows he's fucked.
Yeah. So he's like, he's trying to twist the knife in the only wound that he can, talking about what Navy has gone through because of him.
Right.
So he knows he's dead already, regardless of what happens with him and Navia.
It was probably one of the best beheadings we've had in the series, though.
But it's also, before we get to that point, I want to say that once again, you know, it's the pride before the fall. He thought he had the fight in the bag. He's just like, I've got my sword to her throat. I'm talking mad shit. Then all of a sudden,
she
just cuts him right up
the
sack.
And the ball sack. Yeah.
And you just, I don't care how much of a badass you are, and he's not really a badass to begin with, but you're not standing after that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she takes quite a while in hacking his head off.
Oh.
It gave me chills. Like, because right after she hacks his head off, it zooms in on her face, and she's got that vicious look. That was cool.
Good blood.
And there's a couple of things, too, that there's the, you know, he says, this isn't going to erase what's happened to you. And she's like, no, but it's a good start. And it kind of, that will be a callback to what Spartacus says to Calaver at the very end of the episode. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty neat, too.
Well, Nick Terabay did a fantastic job. I hate to say farewell to him.
Yeah, we'll miss this villain. This guy was a good villain.
He's one of the top villains I've ever seen.
Yeah, sure. He is.
When all the rebels started laughing, and then he did his little laugh too. It was it's just a simple thing that was just great acting. So now Spartacus has a bold strategy, and they allude to it, but they don't exactly reveal what it is. And later we see that they weave some vines together to climb down. That really happened.
Operation heard it through the grapevine.
A lot of the slaves that joined them were weavers. Like they, I don't know if it was baskets or what exactly they were weaving.
Made the stuff for all the, you know, the villas and stuff.
So they were able to pull a lot of the vines. I think it was actually grapevines, and and weave them to climb down. So
that's why I said that. I heard it through the grapevine.
Oh.
I didn't really know it was grapevines. Sorry. But it fits.
I think there was vineyards along Vesuvius. So, but I could be wrong. Huh. I don't remember everything I read. But so Glaber receives Astra's head, and it was expected outcome, he said.
And then this is when he says, we're going to attack at dawn. He tells his second in command, tell the troops to get food in their bellies and a good night's sleep, because at first dawn.
We're attacking.
First light of dawn, we're attacking.
So now we have Lucretia saying bye to her red wig. She dumps it over the side. Alethea joins her on the balcony, and Alethea begins an attempt of moita when her water breaks.
It was like the tiptoe push, too, like, here I come. Yeah.
Did you guys notice that in the final scene before her water breaks, you see Lucretia in the forefront and Alethea in the background, and her eyes are in shadow. And she looks almost like this ghost or monster.
Alethea?
Or something. Yeah.
No.
She looks like that later, too, right before Lucretia falls over the cliff, and she's standing up looking at Lucretia, and her eyes are just all black.
Hmm.
All the scenes with Lucretia and Alethea at this point, because we go back and forth a lot from this point on, they give me that feeling of like that I would get reading like Wuthering Heights or Jane Eyre or some Southern Gothic books as well. There's this weird creepiness about it.
But it's not overt. It's not the main subtle focus of it. It's like a background thing, which sometimes makes it even more creepy because you're just like, what? Why is that in there? what's going on?
What are your hands doing up?
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to give you a hug.
I was about to just grab my cramping pregnant belly. That's all.
That's twice she hesitated. She should have just ran.
Well, now she's in Lucretia's clutches, so Spartacus' baby thwarted Alethea. So the vine ropes are completed, and the chosen few prepare to descend. Spartacus gives speech, and then Gannicus, Crixus, and Agron and Spartacus make their way down.
Wish Spartacus was the coach of my favorite football team.
I know.
Yeah.
He gives some fucking great speeches. We might be better than the poo-poo team we are this year. It'd be awesome. He really is. The writer of the show, whoever writes his speeches, just needs to go into business for football.
So when closer to the guards at the bottom, of course it's going to be Agron, not the other three, that's going to knock some gravel down. Because, you know, Crixus, Gannicus, or Spartacus, they would never do
Crixus
something.
Crixus noticed too, didn't he?
Wasn't he? All,
that's why you're not a champion.
If we rewind it, you could probably see him looking at Spartacus like,
tattling on him.
He's all like pointing at him.
Look what he did. He did that.
Rub his nose in it.
He's like, hey, do you see what he did? Hey, that rock and make you eat it. I will turn these vines back around, and we will go to the top if you two can't behave. Idiot.
He does, too.
Animaeus prepares the rebels at the summit, while Spartacus and the other three infiltrate the Roman camp.
I don't remember him losing an eye.
Oh,
the
last
Egyptian,
episode.
Remember,
the
through
Egyptian,
the hand.
That's right. Okay, sorry. Yeah. I could not place it. I was like, is he missing an eye?
Yep.
Poor Animaeus.
So, Glaber talks of rising above all others when he sees that shit is going down.
He sees the fire, and then he realizes it's the...
Reggie.
Are those trebuchets or catapults? Or...
Catapults. Trebuchet has a rope that hangs down, and it whips.
Okay.
I was confused about the two. Mm-hmm. So catapults just go that, and then trebuchets go
you get
like
more
that.
Distance off trebuchets, and I think they came in later towards I could quote, but I doubt it.
Times.
Yeah, medieval times would be the easiest way to
that
put
makes
it.
Sense.
Because I had a toy one when I was a kid. It was fucking awesome. It was awesome.
I don't remember what fantasy book. The first time I ever heard of a trebuchet, I had to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Game of Thrones a lot.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but frequently enough to where it sticks out in my mind.
Might have been that one. Okay. So they're actually using the Roman weapons against themselves.
Which was genius. I didn't even expect that. I thought they were just going to sneak into camp with four guys. You know, like.
Like how they usually do.
Yeah, I was like, what are they doing? Just four? More people can climb down.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, Spartacus has worked for the Roman army. He's just like, I know how to use these. Let's go over here.
Genius. It really was absolute genius. And turned it around on them. And got them doing the same thing they were doing when they launched him in the first place.
And Glaber knew exactly what was happening when he saw the fires lit. He was like, oh shit,
fuck.
What?
Oh, fuck.
So, meanwhile, Alethea is suffering under labor pains.
And she asks the question that we've been wondering all season. Where the fuck is the Medicus?
Well, he was about to turn the corner and saw crazy fucking Lucretia and was like, all right, y'all got this amount. That bitch is crazy.
That's probably why he left a long time ago.
He was just in like an underwear and socks.
Came all the way from Vesuvius to help. It's not going to happen.
He's in underwear and socks and he always drags his feet when he walks.
Shuffles. God damn it. Poor guy.
Lucretia leaves Alethea's side to go find pain relief. So the
to
rebels
go kill the Medicus is what she was going to do.
We see the rebels, like, you know, standing to face the Romans. And now we're back to Alethea again, who's still in labor. When Lucretia arrives back at her bedside after some moitering.
Oh, shit.
They flash the light like lightning. And that's why it reminds me of, like, Southern Gothic or, like, Wuthering Heights or something like that. And you see the blood on her and you see her holding the knife. It has that horror.
I thought she was going to pull the, oh, you know, I was just protecting you, but she just came out with it. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Alethea's like, what have you been doing? And she kills Alethea's personal slave brutally.
Yeah.
You think she know how to kill, like, with... But, you know, she's not Alethea. She hasn't really done a lot of the killing on her own. Is this really the first time she's done killing on her own without, like,
other
using
than poison and wine? And other people?
So she's not good with the knife, is she?
Whatever. She's pretty damn good with it. She just killed, like...
She's good with the knife.
She gutted a goat.
She's good with the knife, but there's no finesse.
No. Yeah.
She just goes... That's how I would kill with a knife if I had to. Just stab somebody right where they're going to die.
Repeatedly. Like, it took her multiple times.
I loved it. I'm not going to lie. I loved it.
Yeah, it was a good scene. It was harsh, but...
It was just so unexpected. Like, okay, like... You know, if she had done it quick, like prison style under the armpit and they fell over, it wouldn't have had the... panache, you know, I mean, this was like in your face,
yeah,
and you know something's really wrong with her because she doesn't just stab her, she stabs her like six times in the neck.
Yeah,
you know, she could have just been quick about it, but instead she was sending a slight message to Alethea of you're fucked.
All right, so we're back to the battle and Glaber pulls back, and then now we're back to Lucretia who's ready to unwrap her gift, and I thought that was super creepy.
Yeah, it made me put my hand in my mouth. I was like,
<She's> like
oh. I did too. I was like, oh, they're gonna shock Connor open. Dear God.
You had to fan yourself a little bit.
I did. And I felt.
Oh, Lord.
I giggled. I actually did put my hand in my mouth. I was like, no. It was ridiculous. But that it was that good, though. I mean, I never fucking do that. It was that good that it just grossed me out that she was about to gutter like a fish. It was awful.
So we're back to the rebels versus Romans, and Gannicus and the Egyptian are facing off.
Oh, which was awesome.
Animaeus saves Gannicus and soon loses his life.
The Egyptian should have been a fucking gladiator. He would have been all balls out.
They should have taken him out a long time ago. They should have been like, that motherfucker needs to die right now because he's going to hurt somebody.
Yeah, they should have keyed on him.
Because he was the way I felt when Gannicus killed him. It's like, finally, motherfucker, he's like a gnat. Like, he keeps coming back.
Yeah, they chopped half his fucking face off. Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. This is another awesome death in this episode.
It was the good old trope of, like, building off the anger. Like, you know, Gannicus is fighting this guy, and they're going tit for tat, and then he gets the better of Gannicus. Then Animaeus comes in and basically gets gored.
Saves him.
And then Gannicus is, like, he's really mad now, so he just jumps through the air and just splits his skull.
And the soundtrack to the whole fight and to the when it flip-flops back, the mix of, like, new style music. Oh, excuse me. And the singing. I mean, they really did a cool mix of music for each scene.
Carmine and Burana type that had that kind of similar sound where you have like this build up music. Then you have the music back to where Alithia and Lucretia was, which was some creepy shit.
And at one point they get a little bit of the guitar mixed in, the you know, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome cinematography and awesome audio.
Trademark of the show that they're able to put in that modern element of music, but it doesn't seem out of place at all.
No, exactly. It was
I need to get
phenomenal.
That soundtrack. I just have Blood and Sand. I need to get the Vengeance. Yeah, okay. So Gannica says goodbye to Animaeus. Animaeus obviously has forgiven Gannica.
What exactly did he say, though? I couldn't quite get all of it.
He said, I'm going to my wife's arms in the afterlife, and we'll greet you there. You know,
My brother.
Hinting at a three-way, maybe?
That's what I'm thinking.
Heavenly
you
three-way.
You should have told me.
Yeah.
It could have been so awesome.
So sweet.
So the rebels attack the temple, which is awesome to see them just kind of start to...
Didn't expect that either.
...pile over.
Neither did Glavor, because his eyebrows kind of shoot up. They're like, oh, fuck.
Lucretia now has the baby in her clutches, and she walks out onto the training ground. Alithia drags her bloody body, screaming after her.
Did you see that kid's blue eyes?
I couldn't tell if they were blue or Fremen. Not.
Kid looked like Alia. That's what I was thinking.
Fremen.
How can this be?
He was covered in something, too.
Alia of the knife. Saint Alia of the knife. The rebels and Romans continue to fight. Lucretia comforts the whimpering baby with murmuring words of death. The rebels fight. The battle continues to build along with the music. And Alithia continues to crawl, and Lucretia faces Alithia with her back towards the cliff's edge. Spartacus and Clabber, oh shit. Now it's them. And I really
finally.
Like, because he takes out the second in command. I remember you reacted because he slams his head.
Yeah, that's the guy who had killed Mira.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so he threw the axe.
He coconuts him on the fucking wall, man. It was fantastic.
Yeah. And then Glabber comes in attacking him immediately. And it's just, there's no like pause where they're seeing each other across like a distance and then they walk toward each other. It's just
get it on
right into it.
Now, it's worthwhile to just pause here for a second about this fight between Glabber and Spartacus. Does anybody, Glabber included, think that he could have ever bested Spartacus in one-on-one combat?
Look. I think Glabber thought he could, just because he was pompous enough to think that no slave will ever kill me.
It's like Tullius thought he actually bested Gannicus.
Mm-hmm.
I know there could be some kind of, because they're Romans,
they think they're better.
And then, yeah, they think they're better. They actually, and these guys are slaves, and, you know, maybe in their minds that they're...
But Tullius was just a pompous ass who had never actually been out there fighting. Glabber's a pompous ass who's actually seen combat. So he knows the reality of it, the real aspects of this that aren't just about what you think of yourself, but this other physical human being in front of my face who's going to do me harm.
I see what you're saying,
but
I just think Tullius exemplified the Roman attitude. So.
Yeah, because they're raised to be
think that
racist.
They're superior.
Yeah, so, of course, even if they thought it, like, okay, I'm not going to win this, the way that they're brought up is going to keep them forever admitting it or even thinking it, to be honest. I really think that they just thought they were that much better than slaves, man.
So you guys are putting it out there that the way that they're brought up, the attitudes that are instilled in them,
mm-hmm.
preclude the very idea that this person could actually
could
beat
never
them.
Do it, yes.
I mean, even after a couple of them going back and forth already, he still says, I'm not gonna die by a slave's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's still thinking he's somehow gonna come on top.
Men are dead.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just how it is. You know?
And maybe he's just saying it to convince himself, to give him mm-hmm. a little bit more of a
I concede the point. I don't want to split hairs, but it just seems at some point.
I see what
point,
you're saying. I really do.
No,
I
absolutely.
Mean,
you know, he's been chasing Spartacus for over a year, trying to kill him, you know, since he's become, you know, since the slaughter at the Ludus and everything. And they're losing leader after leader, trained soldier after trained soldier. And, you know, he watched Asher, self-admittedly the lowest among his brothers, mm-hmm. beat the living daylights out of what, six or seven of his soldiers.
Yeah, but... But he's never fought him personally, though. So he's thinking, these guys aren't even as good as me anyway. You know what I mean? Because he's a praetor. He's in charge of his men. He's better than all of them, too. So, of course, if they come back beaten by him, it's like, well, I've got to go and do it myself.
Okay, we can move on.
So Alethea attempts to stand, but it is too late. Lucretia takes the baby to Badiatis.
Oh my god. I thought she was just gonna like pitch it over the side. I didn't know she was gonna go with
just
it.
Just fall back.
Holy fuck.
Now they're gonna be a family.
Oh my god.
Alethea watches helplessly and collapses.
Do you think halfway maybe she thought, oh shit, I changed mind.
Maybe, I don't know.
Oh, fucking crazy. Absolute it. Insanity. That was, if I never saw it coming.
Which, that was her plan all along, and obviously, you know, she's saying this episode, that's what she always intended. But, you know, after I saw Lucy Lawless talk about it at a convention, I didn't even realize that it's evident throughout. Like, if you go back and watch it, you can see she's there to take that child the whole time. That is her goal.
All she wants to do.
It's all there sense. Before you. And I'm totally over my head when I first watched it, so.
Yeah, I didn't.
She knew Spartacus's kid from the get-go, you think?
Well, Alethea let her know later. I don't know if she actually knew. I don't think she cared whose kid it was.
Crazy.
I don't think she cared. She just wanted to be born
in that
house.
Yeah, that was irrelevant. It didn't matter whose kid it was.
That was fucking awesome. Never expected it.
I think it was just, you know.
That's why it's great when characters get it, when they get killed.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
You don't get this kind of emotion off of just, like, everybody living all the time. It's fucking phenomenal.
So, meanwhile, Glaber and Spartacus, the Roman finally learns his place before us. Oh. Then Spartacus feeds him some steel. Now, that's callback to what Glaber said to Spartacus.
Yeah, when he was in chains.
Oh, yeah, that's
Ludus,
right.
When he had the garter, when he first gives the garter to Spartacus. Mm-hmm.
That shit was fucking awesome when they stabbed him down the throat. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that before. You know, the Walking Dead gets a lot of credit for the gore and the special
Greg
effects.
Greg Nicotero. Yeah, does a good job.
Whoever is in charge of the special effects on this show should get an award, because this episode alone had phenomenal gore.
Yeah.
Because even after he's dead and he's laying there with blood all over his mouth and it looks a little slack from the steel, fantastic.
Yeah. I love this show.
Asher getting his head cut off was really good,
the
too.
The head cut off, the homeboy's face getting sliced off, Egyptian. Mm-hmm. Just one thing after another. When Lucretia's stabbing the slave, fucking fantastic.
Victory for the rebels. Let Rome send their legions. We will face them. Yay. Spartacus tells Crixus that now they will become an army, and Crixus is so happy.
Yes. He lights up like all his Christmases came at once. He's like,
And where was the little German to do the slow clap after all the fight?
I know. Where's Lugo?
Yeah, there was no slow. I was like, well, now if you need a slow clap, this is definitely the time.
Yeah.
Nothing. And Gannicus just like, fuck.
Yeah,
I wanted
like,
to go.
Animase
is dead now. Can I leave?
Yeah.
I'm sure I can get on a boat and sail away to another country and be just fine. I'm a free man. I'm really free.
But he doesn't have his Rutus.
Still. But he doesn't need it outside the Republic.
Mm-mm. True. He's got to get out of the Republic.
And they're by a port, right?
Yeah, they're not far from Neapolis. That's right.
Why not just steal some ships and dip? Like, and nobody brings it up to Spartacus. Like, okay, dude, you've got revenge. Everybody's been taken care of. Maybe we can go and live our lives somewhere safe and happy. No? But I guess he might as well finish what he started.
You'll see.
Damn it.
All right, so next episode, next season, we will be talking about season 3, War of the Damned, episode 1, Enemies of Rome.
Is this the final season?
Yes.
Boo.
10 episodes left.
That's
it.
Boo.
Yeah.
But they're 10 really good episodes.
Better be.
Yeah.
Because I got a big order to fill after tonight.
They'll deliver, I promise.
All right. Now, and I actually don't know anything about it. I have stayed away from Twitter.
It's awesome.
Everything. I didn't even look up a quiz because I was too scared I was going to come across something.
Good. I'm glad you feel that way.
Did Steve tell you about what happened at work with one of the servers?
About Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Yes.
She better hope it's not true or I'm going to fucking spoil every
you
movie before she sees it.
You guys are close to the end because you saw Jesse.
Three episodes.
Can.
Three.
Cool. You guys will be done this weekend.
This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.
trump call.
True. So it's kind of more of the no. No.
Are you serious? You're not?
Yes. Still, no.
Oh, my God.
Still,
no.
Really?
No.
He's still the one who doesn't want to be part of the group who's just kind of like, this is stupid.
Oh, you're just being, like, contentious. Just
stubborn.
Yeah.
That's the word you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know what I would liken him to? If you don't want to go with Matt, that's yeah, fine. I mean, no, we still think that
I
it's Matt.
I can see it. I
would say
you think, still say think borrows of him. Matt.
Well, at the time, yes, he was. But now that he's been dead a while, no. He's crispy and rotten. Duh.
Crispy. More like soft. Anyway.
Well, this might be some think crispy
of,
bits.
Think of Gannicus as Han Solo.
Oh, for sure.
He's the reluctant leader who's also a badass who comes in and he's part of it for a little while, but he's trying to get something out of it for himself. And then once he gets it, he's like, I can't leave these
guys.
Well,
if it wasn't for Animaeus, he wouldn't have stayed in the first place anyway. He wouldn't have even showed up at the arena. Yeah, okay. So
he's okay. Like,
I can see him as Matt, but the problem is that Varro was at least a gambler. Gannicus never really gambled anything except his life. That's the only problem I have with it. Because that
he
was the
gamble,
basis
but
of Matt.
He was a drinker and a whore.
You just haven't seen him gamble.
But that was
probably
the basis of Matt's character, which
the
was the basis of Varro's character. That's why it's still kind of like, I see where you're coming from, just attitude-wise. He's cool.
Spirit.
He doesn't want to be there. He's just too cool for school, just like Matt was. Yeah. You know, so, and I could see it. And he was a womanizer, like old Gannicus. So, okay, I'll give you that. But Varro is a close second. For the gamble, just for the sheer gambleholic, just not right. good at it.
Well, we'll settle it here. We'll. That, I think we can find common ground.
Okay.
With this.
We'll give Gannicus sure. the yeah. first run, and if Varro had lived, a quick second. But he's rotten. He's kibbles and bits with his bitchy little wife.
Okay, so now.